There's nothing on earth that compares to the Catholic priesthood. And today, priestly vocations are booming. Welcome to Vocation Boom Radio, the show that highlights the glory of the priesthood and promotes priestly vocations through exciting information and lively interviews with priests, seminarians and their families, vocation directors, seminary rectors, bishops, and those with a passion for promoting vocations. Here's the host of Vocation Boom Radio, Jerry Usher.
And it's always good to be with you here on a Saturday afternoon. I hope and pray that as we move into the summer months, you are enjoying some good weather and maybe a little bit of a different routine, perhaps a vacation coming up, or maybe you've had one. Of course, we just came off a long holiday weekend. So thanks for making time to be with us here on Vocation Boom Radio today on EWTN Radio. My thanks to Nick Scott, our producer. We're on the internet at vocationboom.com. We're just trying to do our little part here to help bring about a greater awareness of the fact that God calls every person to a vocation, a path in life for which he has created him or her. And on this program and in our ministry, we focus that on the Catholic priesthood, the ordained ministerial priesthood. And today, my guest, I am pleased to announce Father Sean Soukiel. He is the director of vocations in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York. If you're a man who is pondering a possible priestly vocation, wondering if it's passed you by, maybe you're a parent of a young boy and you're wondering, Father, what can I do to maybe just create an environment in the home that is at least conducive to for your son to be open to a possible vocation. Father Sean Soukiel, I mentioned, is director of vocations in Brooklyn. He oversees the St. John Paul II House of Discernment. He is a chaplain at a local Catholic high school and is involved in numerous youth and young adult programs. He was ordained in June of 2012. Father Sean, welcome to the program. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Jerry. It's great to be here with you.
And as you had mentioned, Father, and I recalled off the air, we have had the opportunity to meet the National Conference of Diocesan Vocation Directors. You're out there, you're laboring, you're working hard, you're hoping and praying that you're seeing results, but I'm sure to get together with the other men and women who are cultivating vocations, especially on the diocesan level, has got to be a real uplifting experience for you.
It is. It's always great to be at those events, you know, because in every diocese, there's usually one or maybe two vocation directors. So you're sort of left alone from the brother priests in recruiting. So it's nice to be with the other vocation directors from the different dioceses and sharing the glory stories and also the struggles of being a vocation director. So it's good to be with the brothers at those events.
Well, I mentioned to you before we went on the air, Father, and our listeners are very familiar with this. When we have a priest on the program, we really like to delve into your calling because there is no one-size-fits-all, and I really believe, and I'm sure you do, Father, that something you share that may be unique to your calling could really speak to somebody who's listening right now and say, wow, you know, I went through that, or that's where I am right now. And so if you would take us back and just kind of give us a snapshot of when it was that you started to look at the priesthood and not just as the priests in the parish who you go and get communion from and go to confession to, but maybe you could be that man.
Yeah, I remember the moment when God spoke to my heart, and I remember as if it was like just yesterday. I was 8 years old, and I was sitting at Sunday Mass with my parents, and I was sitting at the end of the pew, and I was there with my parents, and my two brothers were sleeping, as usual, and the priest was delivering us homily, and it was during the course of the homily where I felt this sense of peace come over my heart, and I never heard a voice from God saying, Sean, I wanted you to become a priest. It was just a sense of peace and comfort, and my immediate response was, I want to be a priest. And I remember walking home from church that day and talking to my mom. And I said to her, I have something to tell you. And she said, what is it, honey? I said, I want to be a priest. And she thought it was the cutest thing in the world, but her little son, Sean, who's 8 years old, wants to become a priest. And so she followed up saying, well, why do you want to become a priest? And I said, I don't know. And she started to get panicked. And she's like, don't tell anyone. So I began telling everyone I want to be a priest. But the thing is, I had no clue what priesthood was about. I was in second grade. I thought of First Communion as like a, as a fundraiser for myself, you know. I didn't understand what communion was about, didn't understand what the church was about, didn't understand anything, but I knew at that moment I wanted to be a priest, but I couldn't put it into words what I was feeling. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, that feeling was still there, and it was getting stronger, and I still had no idea what the priesthood was about. You know, growing up, I wasn't considered like the holy roller of the parish. I wasn't considered the holy roller of the community. I was just a normal kid, always getting into trouble somehow, or trouble finds me. And that just, that vocation was growing inside me in silence. And it wasn't until high school where I was able to put into words what I was feeling. And it was, let's put it this way, it wasn't until I was in high school where I learned how to pray. And I'm a product of Catholic school my entire life. And I'm not, and Catholic elementary school taught me how to pray, how to say the Hail Mary, the Our Father, all that stuff, which is our important prayers. But it wasn't until high school where I really learned how to speak to God from my heart. And it was in the high school chapel where I said, Lord, you know, if this is what you want of me, like, we need to talk. And I shared with God everything that was going on in my life, all my struggles and all my sorrows and all my joys, and just looking for direction. You know, I felt like I was a train wreck inside with all the teenager temptations and stuff. And I said, Lord, what are we doing here? Like, if you're in that gold box, we need to talk. And And the Lord just kept inviting me back into that chapel. And the more I came back into that chapel, the more I was resting in that peace. And then he was telling me, this is what I want of you. And the more you're able to stay here and be with me, simply just be with me, the more grace I can give you to make sense of your vocation. And it wasn't until I was in senior year of high school where I applied to the college seminary, you know, and I made my first real promise with God. You know, I said, Lord, if I get accepted into the seminary, maybe this is your will for me. And I found out I had to take a psychological exam, and I thought, like, this is not going to happen. You know,
like, this will weed me out.
Yeah. And I got the letter. I got the acceptance letter. And it was like this sense of reality sinking in, saying, I made this promise with God. I got to go in. And, you know, I got a lot of support from family and some support from friends, but a lot of people just didn't understand. You know, they said, you're too young, you know, go enjoy the real college experience. There's so much out there for you. Why don't you do X, Y, and Z? I went into the seminary, loved it so much. I was doing so well. Academically, I was doing well. I was making a lot of great new friends. I was happy. Things were going so well for me that I stopped praying. You know, it's easy to pray when we need things. It's easy for us to pray when we're looking for something, but, you know, when things are going so well, we stop praying. And that was something that happened to me. I stopped praying, you know. And after my first year, you know, my friends and some people just putting these ideas in my mind saying, you know, did you get it out of your system yet? Did you get it out of your system? And I left after my first year. And the moment I left the seminary, that peace that I had in my heart since second grade disappeared. And it was gone. And I was completely lost. And I was like, what did I just do? And it was that moment where I realized how fragile a vocation to priesthood is.
Right.
And it has to be watered through prayer. And if I'm not praying, I'm going to fail. And so I needed to just get back into that prayer life and hold on to prayer. And it was after a couple months, I went back to the rector of the seminary, and I said, Monsignor Cisneros at the time, who is Bishop Cisneros today, I said, I want to come back. And he goes, that's great, but you're not coming back. And my heart just shattered. I was like, uh-oh, that's it? I'm never going to become a priest. And it wasn't until a year later where he called me and says, are you ready now? And I said, I am ready. And I went back and I prayed, you know, and I really made prayer part of my daily life in struggles, but also in the joys of being a seminarian. And let's put it this way, I had to mature in my life. I had to be mature enough in my vocation. And I was ordained on June 23rd, as you mentioned, one of the happiest days of my life. And to dream of an 8-year-old boy always wanted to be a priest, and laying down on that marble and knowing that I'm a priest of Jesus Christ is truly a humbling experience. I love it very, very much.
Wow. Father Sean Soukiel is with us here, and anybody resonate with what he's saying right now? Any guys listening who are, maybe you have sort of put that foot forward and then pulled it back, forward and back. And I know the experience. Father, I don't know if you are aware. I spent 6 years in formation, but I think there were two or three starts and stops even in that time for me. So, guys who are listening right now, if you've made that step, pulled back, and you're wondering, hey, is there still a chance for me? Maybe sort through some of the things you might want to be doing to move ahead on that. Moms and dads, what would you do if your 8-year-old son came up and said he wanted to be a priest? Mm-hmm. Well, Father Sean did that to his parents, so maybe you've had one of your sons say something like that, or you just look at him and you say, boy, I see a priest, a possible priest in him. What can we do? Father, you have said so many things here that, I mean, I could take this in 1,000 different directions, but one thing I want to just really sit on for a minute in our conversation is this idea of prayer, because, like you put it so beautifully, you said we could do the rote prayers, the Hail Marys, mm-hmm. the Our Fathers, they're all beautiful, but that is that's sort of one-way prayer, I guess, if I can put it that way. And you discovered two-way prayer and the what I think Saint Benedict called the ear of the heart, to listen with the ear of your heart. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean Pope Francis has been talking, and Pope Benedict too. They both mentioned like this personal encounter, and it wasn't until high school where I had that personal encounter where I've had a lot of struggles, you know, in teenage years, and I was looking for that mercy. And we know that mercy is not something, but mercy is the face of someone, and that's Jesus. And I experienced that mercy just by simply being with Jesus in quiet time before the Blessed Sacrament. You know, like St. Peter, you know, at the Mount of the Transfiguration, he says, Lord, it is good to be here. You know, it is good just to be in your presence. And St. Peter had not much else to say, and he just wanted to simply be with him. And that's what young people today need. They need that communication. They need that connection with the face of Jesus, with mercy itself. And once you're able to tap into that, your whole life changes, you know, and things that were once cloudy in your mind and in your heart becomes clarity. And God gives you that strength and that courage, which comes from the heart, which comes from the core, which is the Eucharist, that gives you that courage to persevere and to really tune into the voice of God and listen to His voice saying, come, follow me, you know, and I'm going to make you great. You know, greatness is found in not what you're doing, but greatness is found in loving me. And that's what I needed to hear in my own heart as a high school student, and I really needed to tap into that even more in college and even in seminary and even in my priesthood too. You know, my priesthood hasn't been all flowers, you know. In my priesthood, I've had my fair share of struggles. I went to my first assignment in July in Blessed Trinity Point in Breezy Point, and just a few months later, we were hit by Hurricane Sandy, and it was my parish that was flooded with water, 5 feet of water in the church, and 185 homes burned down to the ground, 2,000 homes had water damages. In just minutes, I lost my entire parish community, and here I'm just, the oils are still wet on my hand, and I'm like, what do I do, you know? And it was one of the most struggles in my very early on in my priesthood, where I was upset with God, and I had to really go back to that mercy, you know, and be an agent of mercy to those families. So it's all about that personal encounter with Jesus.
Yeah, were you saying things like, God, they didn't teach me about this in the seminary?
They didn't. Yeah, they did not prepare me for this at all.
There wasn't a course on this.
No, and I didn't know what to do, you know, but it was just being present. It was just standing at the front of the community and just allowing people to cry on my shoulder and just be there to extend that healing hand and say, just trust in Jesus and that that God is with us. And they needed to see that visible presence in the priest. They needed to see in that priest Christ at that moment. You know, so it's not about what you're saying or doing; it's just about really just being with the people
right,
in the midst of the suffering.
Father Sean Soukiel is with us. He is a priest in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York, and now serves as the Director of Vocation. So he's out there with his binoculars and even going up close and personal with young men trying to find potential candidates for priestly vocations. How many, Father Sean, were in your class? And then the numbers, and it's not all about numbers, but I think people need to hear that men are responding to this call. So vocations seem to be going pretty well in your diocese.
Yeah, in my class, there were six of us who were ordained. We've had double-digit numbers. So we've been blessed with I would say that's incredible numbers of ordination each year. And we're about 51 seminarians we have in the Diocese of Brooklyn at this time. We're fishing, you know, as Bishop DiMarzio puts, as in basketball terms, put a full-court press out there for vocations, you know. So we have vocation help on every level, middle school, high schools, colleges, in the parishes and stuff like that. So Bishop DiMarzio really is a huge supporter of vocations, and he makes vocations a priority in his ministry as Bishop of Brooklyn.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to get a short break here. I always like to say, Father, that after the life issues, and I'm talking, of course, abortion, contraception, euthanasia, and I put marriage and family life in there too, but I say after that set of issues within the church, I don't think there's anything more important that a Catholic can do than to help bring about an increase in priestly vocations, because, of course, it is at the hands of the priest that we receive Jesus in the Eucharist and our sins are absolved in confession and so forth. So those of you who listen to this show regularly, that will sound familiar to you. And as we get set to take our break right now, Father Sean Soukiel and I will have more on the other side of the break. This is Vocation Boom Radio. I am your host, Jerry Usher. We will be right back.
Have you prayed for priestly vocations today? Vocation Boom Radio.
Enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and help promote vocations in the church at the same time. If you like the idea, then you'll love drinking Vocation Brew, a fresh roasted premium coffee available in three delicious varieties: Morning Lauds Italian Roast, Evening Vespers Dark Roast, and Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nossa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for six generations on a family farm in Brazil, and they're Catholics too. Fantastic coffee and an opportunity for you to assist in promotion of vocations at your parish. It's a win-win situation for everyone, since all the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage others to consider God's vocation for them. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
God thinks there are lots of vocations out there. Do you? This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Dynamic Deacon Harold Burke Sivers is available to come to your next event.
It's you! That's where they encounter Jesus Christ. In you! That's where they learn to fall in love with Jesus. Through you!
Deacon Harold is ready to inspire you and to motivate you to have a greater faith in God and living the life of the church.
What is the Goliath that has you so scared that you can't take your faith to the next level? Why is your prayer life just stuck? You can't take anything to that next level because there's something holding you back.
Be on fire for your Catholic faith. Invite Deacon Harold to your parish conference or retreat.
Jesus says, in order to be my disciples, you must pick up your cross and follow me.
Book Deacon Harold today through his website, deaconharold.com, by contacting thirdmillenniummedia.com, or by calling 541-212-8616 today.
Hi, my name is Rose Sullivan. I'm the executive director of NCDVD, who represents the vocation directors of the U.S., and we want to thank Vocation Boom for helping to create a culture of priestly vocations.
Oh boy, let me tell you, that gratitude is more than a return to Rose Sullivan and Rosie and all the people at NCDVD, National Conference of Diocesan Vocation Directors. They have been very, very good to us. Rose has been on our radio show, and we have one of those vocation directors with us today on this live program, Father Sean Sukiel of the Diocese of Brooklyn. John was up first, so he goes first in Albuquerque, listening to Vocation Boom Radio on Immaculate Heart Radio. Hi, John. Welcome. You're on with Father Sean Sukiel.
Hello, Father. Thank you for taking my call.
Great, John. How are you?
I'm good. My question is, it seems that the vast majority of bishops and vocation directors seem to be discouraging older vocations. And when I say older, I mean like 60.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can't speak on behalf of all the bishops and all vocation directors, but I can certainly tell you what our practice is here in the Diocese of Brooklyn. And as I mentioned, Bishop DiMarzio is a huge supporter of vocations, and you know, we speak to everyone on a personal basis, you know, and you know, we do have men who are older vocations, and we meet them at their needs, and we try to support them, and we really are in discernment with them. And we have guys who are in the upper 50s in our program, and they go to St. John 23rd, which is a wonderful seminary, and the formation they receive there is really fraternal, and it's really a great program there. So, I mean, that's not my experience here in the diocese. I would say is We pray with the individual, and we figure out, we discern with them if this is what God is really calling them to do at that point in life.
Okay.
John, is this something you have, it sounds like you've attempted to look into this maybe with a diocese or an order somewhere along the line?
Yes, with the Archbishop or the Archdiocese of Santa Fe.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I spoke to the vocation director, and I'm way past their limit. And I'm familiar with John the 23rd Seminary. It's one of the, like, only two or three seminaries that take older vocations. There's one in Rome, and maybe another one, I think, in Minnesota.
You know, John, I have to say that, you know, older vocations are truly a blessing and a gift in the church because, you know, I'm on the younger side. I'm only 30 years old. And so someone who is older would have different life experience than I have. And so they could interact with people on a much different level than I could, you know, maybe whoever's, you know, the Archdiocese of New York just had an older gentleman who was a retired firefighter, you know, and so he could really tap into a different culture than I could, you know. So older vocations, they're a gift to the church, you know, and they really need to be prayed upon and discerned upon the individual candidate, but also upon the church as well.
Father, I have socks older than you. So.
That makes two of us, John.
I do pray, and I am discerning, and it's a couple years away. But, you know, I've investigated, and at least around here, it's, and I'm checking other dioceses, and I'm going to check with the Gallup Diocese of Gallup, which is the poorest diocese in the country and has a real need for priests.
Right. And you also just need to put it really into the hands of God and say, Lord, is this what you want of me? You know, and look for his message, so his message, not your message, you know, not just trying to figure, like, this is what I want to do, but is this what God wants of me? You know, and so we need to be open and tuned to the voice of God and be open to his message he has for us. It's easy for us to think, you know, try to trick ourselves and saying, well, we know what God's message is, and we're trying to find it. But sometimes we have to just really humble ourselves and say, Lord, is this one you want of me?
Yeah, and John, on that note, we'll let you go. Thanks for calling, and I would just add a quick final note. I'm not certain about this. Father Sean, you may know more about this, but John, I would just encourage you. I believe that a seminary like John the 23rd in Massachusetts, Holy Apostles in Cromwell, Connecticut, and there's, I think, Sacred Heart in Hales Corner, Wisconsin. Some of them, I don't know if they all do this, but they will accept a man into the academic program with the purpose in mind of finding him, matching him up with a diocese. I'm not certain which ones or if they all do that, John, but that's something for you to keep in mind as well as a possibility. And really appreciate you calling Vocation Boom Radio today. Thank you very much for that. We're going to go to Joan next in Washington, D.C. Joan, you are on the program with Father Sean Sukil, who is the Vocation Director in Brooklyn, not too far from you. Hi, Joan.
Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed listening to this and was really pulled when the radio went to the station on its own, and I heard essentially my own story and being pulled from the time I was an early, you know, child, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, throughout my life, feeling I was receiving a message, but then as a female to get a different message from the church. And then, to, you know, you said to your callers, you were calling, asking young men to call in, and what message, Father Sean, are you telling young women who also feel they receive this message, and yet they come to the church and it's not an option? What options are being presented along, you know, that are parallel to this vocation?
Right.
It's tremendously conflicting.
Sure. You know, what I say to young girls is that, well, first of all, what I say to everyone, not just girls, but everyone has a vocation. And a vocation is a calling from God to do something remarkable with our lives. And that's what a vocation is. And we're called in many different capacities. We're called to be priests, to be religious, to be brothers. We're called to married life. We're even called to the lay life and maybe dedicating ourselves to a particular profession and service to God, you know, and trying to bring about good in the world. And communicate his love. So we're all called to a vocation. And so what I say to young girls is that, you know, the vocation that you're called to is for you. And pray that, you know, for the gift to open up your heart and to find the vocation that he has called you to. He starts the vocation. It doesn't start within us first. You know, it starts from God. And he is calling a lot of young girls to religious life, to married life, to other vocations. And so I do meet with young girls and encourage them to figure out and to discern what their vocation in life truly is.
Well, I'm glad to hear you're meeting with young women as well.
Oh, yeah.
And building vocation.
Yeah, and Joan, I just want to add I don't know if you, I even mentioned early in this episode of the program that our first and foremost goal is to help all people, especially young people, discern what it is their calling is. At Vocation Boom, we have discerned that God has called us to focus on priestly vocation. So this is not any attempt on our part to exclude or create any conflicting thoughts like you expressed. I apologize for that if it does, but...
Oh, no, it's understood. It's just when you hear someone essentially repeat your own personal experience, it's very powerful. And I'm sure, you know, I'm older now, and life has moved on. And yes, I have a vocation. I probably have two, I'd say. But and you build upon those gifts. But I just, for someone else who may be listening who is, you know, 11, 12, 13 and feeling and looking for that support within the church, a young woman who is 11, 12, 13 looking for that support within the church. So I just wanted to, I guess, represent those of us who have been there.
Yes. And I can assure you, and Father, I won't hog the microphone here. I'll let you comment. But in my experience, Joan, there is probably more of a vocation boom going on in women religious vocations than even priestly vocations, Father. Am I wrong on that? I see like the Nashville Dominicans and some of these orders are just, they're sleeping on the floor and they're having to build new housing and stuff. So there's no shortage of vocations there among women today.
Right.
Sure. No,
right.
Definitely.
Right.
I just want to make a comment. About 2 weeks ago, we had Steubenville come to Queens, to St. John's University, and we had about 2,000 young people at this event. And Sunday at the closing mass with Cardinal Dolan, the priest did a vocation call, and he invited all the young girls who were out there to, you know, who maybe has been touched or who feels just a little inclination maybe to religious life as a possible vocation, to please stand and come forward. And all the religious sisters were there to surround them and to greet them. They came to the altar, and there were about, out of the 2,000 girls there, out of the 2,000 young people there, I would say close to like 50 to 60 girls came forward and who are just weren't afraid at that moment to say, yeah, maybe I have an idea of a vocation in my heart, of a religious life. And it was so, so incredible to see it. And everyone just stood up and gave them a standing ovation. And that was our way of expressing to them, we love you and we encourage you and we hope you pray and find that vocation that is in your heart. And so that's step one, is sort of recognizing, yeah, God loves me and God has put something in my heart. Now the question is, what is it? And there are so many vocation religious orders out there, you know. And it's sort of like you go into a supermarket and you have to know what you want, what you're looking for. Because if you don't know what you're looking for, you could spend your entire life searching and not getting anything, you know. So now is the opportunity for these young girls to, their hearts are on fire right now, and to really to discern and to figure out, okay, what is the Lord saying to me in my heart? How is he moving me into what religious order? And there are many orders that are like you said, Jerry, are booming. They're growing, and praise God for that, you know. And they have an important, very important mission and place in the church in building up a culture that is for us today.
Joan, did you have anything else you'd like to share?
No, I appreciate your time tremendously.
Thank you, Joan.
Well, we appreciate you calling. Thank you. My name is Jerry Usher. My guest today is Father Sean Soukiel. He was ordained in June 2012, and he is now the Director of Vocations for the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York. And Father, on that note of the Steubenville Conference, my alma mater is Franciscan University, so I'm
okay.
a little bit partial to them, but I love the way that, you know, they started out with their people going there for conferences for many, many years, and then they said, hey, let's take our conferences out and out on the road, out to where the young people are, because not everybody can get to Steubenville. And
sure.
What describe for our listeners who may have heard, okay, they've heard Steubenville Conference, what is the experience like?
Well, I would say the experience is like just a little mini World Youth Day, you know. So you have young people from all over coming together, and they spend the weekend at St. John's University, and their catechesis and breakout sessions and conferences and holy hour praise and worship. There's the sacrament of confession is offered, the Eucharist is offered, and you walk away feeling proud to be Catholic, you know, and you walk away feeling like I'm not alone in this, and that, yeah, I do have a mission and a purpose. And so, you know, there's this contagious, palpable joy that's there at these youth events, and really, Steubenville gets the fire started, you know, and allows that fire to burn, to be brought back to our local youth groups and parish communities, and allow our people to see that fire burning within our hearts. And that's what Steubenville offers, you know.
Fantastic. Well, we have more calls, so we will stay with them. Still more that I want to talk to Father Sean about, but we've got John in New York listening to EWTN Radio and Vocation Boom. Hi, John. Welcome to the program with Father Sean Soukiel.
Hi, Father. How are you?
Hey, John. How are you?
I'm good. So I've decided to enter seminary. I'm a Maronite. I'm 18.
Mm-hmm.
And the one I was looking at was Our Lady of Lebanon in Brooklyn.
Sure.
Would that fall under your jurisdiction? And then I also have a second question, because I know it's not Latin Rite.
Certainly, it doesn't fall under my jurisdiction, but it certainly I could put you in contact with the priest of the parish there and, make that connection for you. I don't know if you've ever been to the cathedral there, but that's something I could assist you with.
And the second part of my question, my mother is not really, she's supporting me in
sure.
my vocation, but she's not really, church going. She doesn't really believe. She's fallen away. And she's not supporting me in getting confirmed. So my question would be, do I need to be confirmed by the time I enter seminary?
I would say you certainly need to be confirmed when you're ordained a priest, because you need to receive that sacrament. The seminary would ask for you to receive confirmation before. Now, is it, it would be sort of a requirement. I'm sure they could work something out with you. But yes, confirmation is necessary. And, certainly what you're experiencing, with your mother, is many guys have experienced, and so my advice to you is just, bring that to prayer too and say to the Lord, help me with my mom, don't be afraid to, use the Lord to really, soften the heart of your mother and allow her to, become a support to you. And it will happen, once she sees you happy and that joy that you have of being a seminarian, the heart of a mother changes, and so there's time for growth. And but my advice to you is just bring that to prayer right now, because I know that could weigh on your heart too, but just pray about that.
Thank you so much, Father.
All right, John.
All right, John, we will be praying too, the entire Vocation Boom family. And give us a call back. Keep us posted here on this program if you are so inclined. And we'd love to see God's will unfold in your life as we want in the lives of all young people. And those who still maybe not have, are a little bit older adults and still feel like you haven't quite closed the door or reached to kind of close that loop on what God has called you to do in terms of your vocation. So Father Sean, hang on. We're going to be back after a short break and more with Father Sean Sukil on Vocation Boom Radio straight ahead. Stay with us.
1,000 things go into the making of one priestly vocation, including an encouraging word from you. This is Vocation Boom Radio.
Invite a powerful and dynamic Catholic speaker to your parish, conference, or retreat.
I am God's son. I belong to the Father. He loves me. He has empowered me. And whatever challenge I face, I'm going to overcome. That's masculine genius. But let me ask you a question. What is your plan? What is your plan for achieving holiness? Your mission is in heaven. What's your plan?
Be introduced to Joe McClain.
How are you going to achieve a state of grace today? How often do you get to the confessional? Do you try to take in an extra mass during the week? Do you examine your conscience every single night? I know a lot of people, saints who get to heaven, because they laid it all on the line and gave 110%. What is your plan?
Book Joe McClain today by contacting Third Millennium Media at thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Discerning coffee drinkers, enjoy some of the best coffee on earth and increase vocations to the priesthood at the same time. If that sounds like just your type of unbeatable combination, then you'll love Sipping Vocation Brew, available in three terrific blends. Morning Lods, a medium breakfast roast. Evening Vespers, dark Italian roast. And Discernment Brazilian Decaf. Our coffee partner, Nosa Familia, has been growing beans sustainably and ethically for six generations on a family farm in Brazil. By purchasing Vocation Brew, you'll enjoy freshly roasted coffee and help build a culture of priestly vocations. All of the proceeds from the sale of Vocation Brew go right back into our efforts to encourage young men to say yes to God's call to the priesthood. Place your order today at vocationboom.com. That's vocationboom.com.
We know you like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
We all know a lot of priests, and most of us know at least one seminarian. If there's a way we can support them, it's to help them better know the faith they're called by God to teach the rest of us. Many priests and seminarians already use the Faith Database, the searchable CD-ROM that you load right onto your computer. Learn more about the Faith Database at faithdatabase.com. It contains more than 10 Bible translations, over 1,500 full-length books by authors such as Aquinas, Newman and Chesterton, writings from the fathers and doctors of the church, 2,000 years of church council documents and papal writings, Bible art and maps, and much more. You can either read and study an entire volume or use the search feature to enter a word or phrase, and instantly dozens or hundreds of results pop up that have to do with a topic you're interested in. Learn how you can get a copy for yourself or for the priest or seminarian in your life by logging on to faithdatabase.com.
Inspiring, engaging, life-changing. Third Millennium Media proudly presents Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Sometimes when we get put in charge of stuff, we get a little cocky. Oh, I'm in charge, huh? I'm the boss. And we forget that we are all under the authority of Christ.
Protection from spiritual warfare from Adam Bly.
The spiritual world is legalistic. The demons are bound by rules. If you learn the rules that they are bound to operate under, God's rules, you are greatly empowered.
Grow in holiness from world-renowned Catholic radio host Jerry Usher.
This region of the world longs for the flame of your faith, for the flame of your charitable witness to be a beacon of salvation for your brothers and sisters. And the responsibility is great.
Coming to your parish, Jerry Usher, Adam Bly, and Deacon Harold Burke Sivers. Contact thirdmillenniummedia.com or call 541-212-8616 today.
Are you actively supporting a seminarian in your area? This is Vocation Boom Radio.
And our thanks to Father Benedict and all the vocation directors out there, one of whom is on the program with me today, Father Sean Sukiel, Director of Vocations in the Diocese of Brooklyn, New York. 1-800-585-9396 to join us here on the program. We're going to go to Anna or Anna in Los Angeles, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Anna, pronunciation
Hello,
is it for your name?
Hello, and thank you for taking my call. I have a question about a deacon. Explain to me what a deacon is, how he gets there, what his duties are. How is he called?
Great. Yeah, so there are two, I guess, forms of deacon. There's a transitional deacon, and a transitional deacon is someone on the road to priesthood, and there's a permanent deacon, one who is either married or single and remains a permanent deacon for his life. So there are two different forms of deacon. And a deacon is someone who is a bearer of the word. And so it's his job in liturgical life of the church to proclaim the gospel, to bring the word to the sick, the homebound, the imprisoned, you know, so the deacon is also serves to assist the priest, and so there is vocations to the diaconate life out there,
St. Francis of Assisi was a deacon and was never meant to be called a priest. And so there are, it's a road towards the priesthood. So,
does that help, Anna?
Well, I guess, okay, so if they're married, they can become a deacon, but if they're not married and become a deacon, they can't get married.
If they're married, if they're married deacons, they can't become a priest. Because the first thing is, you don't become a, like, there, if a married person, becomes deacons because their vocation is to the diaconate, not the priesthood. You know, it's not just second best, you know. Their vocation is to the diaconate in service to the homebound, the imprisoned, to assist the priest. You know, if there's, you know, unforsaken chance that his spouse dies and later on feels that call to become a priest, you know, that's a conversation to have with the bishop of the local diocese and to figure out, to discern with that gentleman if he's truly called to be a priest. So he could eventually go on if his wife passes and his children are old enough to support themselves. But usually permanent deacons do not become priests.
All right, Anna. Hope that helps you. Thanks for calling from Los Angeles today. Yeah, good to hear from you. Again, our number, 1-800-585-9396 is our number. Father Sean Sukiel with us. Father, you've got some programs, I understand, that tell us a little bit about what you're doing to get out among the young people, the youth groups, maybe young adults, just trying to present, first of all, the idea, as you said, the general idea of vocation to them, and then maybe specifically priesthood or religious life.
Yeah, so you know, this has just been my first year as the vocation director, and this past year, one of the main programs that we did this year was something called Project Andrew, and we did 22 of them. We did it on parish level. We did Project Andrews in high schools and colleges. We did the Project Andrews according to the different ethnic apostolates we have in the diocese. Mass is celebrated in 27 different languages in our diocese every Sunday, so we have all these different ethnic apostolates. So we reached out to different cultures and tried to host these Project Andrews. And a Project Andrew is a gathering of young men who have been invited by a priest to share in prayer, usually Vespers, evening prayer, to share in a meal with one of our bishops and to have a conversation with the vocation director and the bishop and the priest gathering about what is life to be like a priest, and if they would like to receive any more information, any follow-up, that I would be in contact with them. And so in this year alone, we've met with close to 200 men in those Project Andrews, and it's been a huge success, and Bishop DiMarzio is a huge supporter of Project Andrews, and this year we have another 20 or so scheduled. And so they happen all across our diocese, and if you can't make one, there's always another one available. So so we have that. That's one of our big things. We also have, we're starting something on a high school level called the Jeremiah Project, where we'll have monthly overnights at the college seminary, just to interact with the college seminarians and tap into their prayer life, and just to get a taste of what is a college seminary about. We also are starting a middle school discernment group called Fraternitas, which is under the guidance and the direction of Pier Giorgio Frassati. And this Fraternitas is a group of middle school students who are dedicated to instilling Christian values and fostering becoming a true Catholic gentleman. So what we do is we meet with them monthly and we pray, we have catechesis, we have sports, and we end with Mass. And it's also the opportunity to meet with parents as well, because if we're not, we have to speak to the parents, we have to evangelize the parents, because if we're not, we're not doing our job correctly. So that when the students go home from these events, they're talking to their parents about it, you know, and their parents know what they're hearing, and it facilitates the conversations that they have between the son and the parent. So we have vocation programs on every level. We offer retreats. We do 3 retreats a year. In Advent, we do a silent retreat with the Archdiocese of New York and Rockville Center. We also do a Holy Week retreat with them at Dunwoody and Douglaston, our 2 college and major seminaries. And then we also have the Bishop's Lenten vocational retreat. So we have plenty of vocation programs going on. And the 3 dioceses, Rockville Center, myself, and New York, we work strongly together, and we support each other. And we bring together a group of guys, and it's nice to meet guys from different parts of the island who are open to the idea of priesthood.
Well, Father, it's almost like they have to try pretty hard to avoid all of these things that you're doing. if you don't catch them and bring them to one of these things, they've done a good job of eluding you, it sounds like. Right. This sounds like really fantastic, just saturation of different programs and outreaches and so forth, and that's just so very encouraging. In our last, we've got about 3 minutes, Father, if you would just talk a couple things real quick about the types of men that you're seeing coming today. It's been our experience at Vocation Boom that many of them come with at least some academic advancements. Some come, you know, engineering, pre-med. These aren't guys with the L on their forehead, you know, couldn't get a girl, couldn't hold a job. The world sometimes thinks, well, you know, by default, guys go into priesthood or women go into religious life. But so real quickly, the quality of the men that you're seeing, and then from your priestly heart, just speak to any men who are listening to join you in following Christ on this path.
Sure. Yeah, you know, the men I've been talking to are guys who have something to offer. The guys that are coming to me aren't the ones who have nothing to offer, but something to offer, you know, and there's something real and personal that's burning inside them. And so, you know, we have guys who have finished college and who have degrees and really can do great things with their lives, and they really want to just put it off to the side and really discern if this is what God is calling them to do. And so we've been blessed with many great vocations in the Diocese of Brooklyn. And what I would just say to anyone who's listening, who's thinking about a vocation to the priesthood, is the first thing is pray. You know, open up your heart to the Lord, and don't be afraid to share with Him whatever is going on in your heart and say, Lord, you know, is this what you want of me? You know, all that fear, because fear does seep in, and we can't allow fear to dictate our emotions. We have to be courageous in our vocation. And so the first step is go before the Blessed Sacrament, go before Jesus, and lay it all on the line. Say, Lord, this is who I am. This is what's going on in my heart. Help me make sense of it. And God will help you make sense of it. He will put that peace and comfort in your heart that we're looking for, that happiness, that will give us the courage to pick up the phone and contact our vocation director and to make that next step possible. So my advice to anyone out there who's thinking about priesthood or just has a small inkling about it, go for it. Don't hesitate. Do it. You know, it's like just do it, and you'll see great things will happen for you and amazing things. And it's really the work of God in your life. It's not you. It's God working in your life. You know, I look back on my own life and I never thought in a million years I would be, you know, doing what I'm doing today as a vocation director or have that incredible experience in Blessed Trinity Parish in Breezy Point with the hurricane. You know, I never thought about that in a million years, but the Lord gives us the grace. He gives us the strength to do these things, and we just have to place ourselves in God's hands. So that's my advice to anyone out there who's thinking about a vocation, is just put yourself into God's hands and let God take control of you.
Father Sean, how would people, I'm sure your diocese has a vocation page. Is there any particular address you'd like to point people to?
Yeah, you could catch us on www.brooklynpriest.org, and we have our seminarians up there. We have vocation stories of Brooklyn priests. We have the events that are happening in the diocese. So, and also our diocesan website, dioceseofbrooklyn.org. You can catch what's happening in the Brooklyn Diocese there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. So many more and more dioceses are doing not just a sub-page of their diocesan website for vocations, but like you said, brooklynpriest.org. So that's exciting to me. Father Sean, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for your vocation. All right, Father Sean Sukiel, keep him in your prayers. His work, they are having great numbers and really just super, super men coming forward to be candidates and be ordained priests in the Diocese of Brooklyn, which we're seeing in so many other places as well. And I want to thank you for your support of Vocation Boom. We are reliant upon your goodness, your generosity. We are a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, and our hand is out in front of you like so many other fine apostolates that you are very likely supporting. Just ask that if you've got a couple coins left after you support your local Catholic station or EWTN, please log on to vocationboom.com, click the donate button there, and if you could toss a few coins our way, we'd appreciate that.